more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Milwaukee's food and dining scene seems to be getting better every year, with not only new restaurants opening up, but new food ventures and collaborations taking place across the city and the suburbs.
Kyle Cherik hosts TV's Wisconsin Foodie, and he joins me in the studio now. Well, Kyle, it's that time of year.
Woohoo! Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
And you know what that means. It's looking back at 2015, looking at the culinary landscape, and there's a lot of stuff to celebrate this
year.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of great community stuff happening. The thing that's probably first and foremost on people's minds is the Fondy Food Market and that great farmers market, which is an institution in the city going back to 1917. Merging with the newbie, and thank goodness it came along, the Milwaukee County Winter Farmers Market. And they merged, which means, in essence, that the farmers of the Fondy Market now have a place to send all their exquisite greens and delectable things and winter spinach and so on and so forth to a market during the colder months.
And people were looking for that.
Oh, no question. I mean, the Winter Farmers Market grew from an expo out at State Fair and crowded aisles to the domes. And it's just so fantastic to get there 10 minutes before the farmers market open and see people queuing up, and not a few, but lines. And they're coming with their bags, and you can shop for the whole week. And anyway, so that partnership is just fantastic. And then Walnut Way, the mighty, mighty, mighty power of community, and their Innovation Commons on North Avenue. I mean, Outpost putting in a small grocery store, not because it's going to be a high-grossing grocery store, but because they need one there. The Milwaukee Center for Independence, the Juice Kitchen. I'm probably forgetting somebody, but it's just so cool what is happening. And God bless, I'm just going to say it, Sharon and Larry Adams, for having the temerity to pull Walnut Way together in a neighborhood that needed it. And the city's doing a beautiful job. I mean, Tim McCullough and the Grown Here initiative, it's something like 16 new parks last year. All these orchards, you know, fruit is growing on trees in the city because it can, because it used to, because that's where it grew. That aspect of our food scene is very homespun and really, really exciting.
And it sounds like it's really, not to be a punning, I don't intend to pun here, but it's growing. It's expanding.
You know how I love a good pun anyway.
Yeah. But it's expanding in a way. Maybe 2015 was a year for that sort of exponential growth.
Yeah. I think we're at a critical mass now. I think that there's a public buy-in and people see what it means to the city overall. We were very close on the Bloomberg Challenge for getting that grant a couple of years ago. And Tim McKellar again and his team led that beautifully. And, you know, hey, I got to do a shout out. The exec producer of Wisconsin Foodie, the show I host, he filmed that piece and it was gorgeous. We came in third, but still, I mean, there's a momentum there. And the other great aspect is, you know, we had the restaurant boom. I mean, we talk about like the Walker's Point stretch and there's 21 restaurants there and six of those were on Carol Deptola's top 30 list. But it's things like the Amalinda guys. So Greg and Ori Leon, who had basically a pop-up inside the National on Saturday nights for dinner service for years and did events and catering and all kinds of whatever they could, basically, got their loans together and opened up Amalinda on Wisconsin Avenue, the old main street, the old, you know, main thoroughfare of the city. And then Yolande Deacon, who Afrofusion cuisine, she was doing the same thing. She was catering. She has her sauces. She was making food but never had a location. Iri Zulu, which is this combination of her West African and her husband's Caribbean history, it's so brilliant because, you know, we talk about thematic dinners. Well, they pick a different, basically, aspect of the Caribbean or Africa each night. So if you go in on a certain night, you can only get West African. If you go in on another night, you can only get Caribbean. But now they have vibrant restaurants. And again, let's go with the pun. There's a hunger for all of it. And that's the good news.
That is the very good news. And there's a hunger for it and there's a support for it. It's not just people saying, oh, wouldn't it be nice?
Right.
People are actually going to these restaurants.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of hunger, I mean, let's talk about coffee for a little minute. So Kickapoo from the Driftless region is coming in and they're going to have a new location in the Third Ward. But, you know, Collectivo is expanding in all these different beautiful, wonderful ways to the suburbs and places like that and Madison. But they're also, their bakery is exceptional. And, you know, it doesn't yet make sense to have good pastry if you're a coffee shop, and they've got many. But to have really exquisite bread, and I know a little bit of background, to put in all the R&D and the cost associated with that and essentially lose money to get it right for a long time. And then you've got anodyne with a Neapolitan pizza oven that they put in. I mean, you know, you don't think of the two, but it's obviously the Italians love coffee. That sort of thing. Hawthorne has come on, and that seems to be the coffee that some of the chefs really favor. It certainly goes beautifully with donuts that the Holy Moly guys are doing. What's fascinating to me, and I am not a coffee geek per se, but to see this bifurcation. Stone Creek is opening up on that stretch of Wauwatosa and North Avenue, where all the restaurants are, of coffee is what we come in for, but it's this experiential and now food-oriented kind of engagement with that product.
The other thing, and you just mentioned this strip in Wauwatosa where all the restaurants are, that's changing too. Oh. I don't know that 2015 was like the key year for that, but it seems like it's not just downtown Milwaukee now. Yeah. There's all of these other places to go, and it becomes another neighborhood mm-hmm. type thing where you can say, you know, I'm going to be in Tosa. There's a gazillion things to choose from.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that stretch to me, and I don't know enough about, development per se, but that seems like an area where maybe the city folks and developers and restaurateurs and the SBA folks and what have you all really got it, and they got it in a short period of time. It used to be that you had to go to downtown Tosa, right? And there was Le Rev, and there was Ristorante Bortolotta, and then there were the Lowlands Concepts, and then there was a Noodles and Company, and you were kind of done. Now, Tosa, I mean, you can eat fantastically from basically the very edge of Milwaukee and then just keep going west. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, that whole Mayfair Commons. Bartolotta's putting up three restaurants. Pizza Man put out their second location there. And they're, from all reports, and I know the owners, they're going gangbusters. There was such a desire for good food, non-franchisee food out there. And it just warms my heart because...
Do you think that's going to go into other neighborhoods and other areas in the greater Milwaukee area, that restaurateurs are going to be looking at other maybe non-traditional, quote, air quotes, spots?
I think that's the name of the game. I think that that lending has seized up a little bit now that we're, quote, unquote, past the recession. But restaurants are fantastic because if you have good operators, a banker can look at it and say, money turns. Like, we'll always have cash flow. Things slow down January through March because that's the doldrums in restaurants. That's just part of the deal. But if you have really good operators and they can look at those balance sheets and say, yeah, this is a nickel and dime business, by the way, restaurants are. But you do well with your nickels and dimes. And so they're engaging. They're sexy. They build community. They bring a lot of people to a place, if they're hopping, that come and go. So your development looks vibrant. This is a good thing. Yeah.
So what else? What else was 2015 notable for in your eyes?
Well, I think it's interesting how pop-ups were, you know, we did a show on them a couple of years ago, and they seem to have disappeared from the realm, but that energy has definitely shifted over to thematic dinners where chefs meet with chefs. Justin Carlisle has done, and Arden has done this the best, and he's reached out across the country and brought in all of his chef cohorts, and then they cook a meal, and he does it on Sunday night, and it's a pre-fee and, you know, that sort of thing. But there's the Plate Collective. It's a chef and his wife, and Dan Jacobs and his wife, Kate, and she makes these gorgeous plates, and she makes them specifically for the dinner, and a bunch of chefs, you know, monkey pile together and cook, not literally. But that sort of thematic, of course, there's always the Food for Thought folks, which is, again, a cohort of chefs, and they pick a great cause, and they move it from spot to spot to spot. I guess that's the closest that we have in pop-ups. And then those dinners benefit 100%. Ingredients cost everything. They benefit that charity. The most moving one that I went to last year was on Veterans Day in Wendover Hall at the Art Museum, and someone from the Veterans Administration spoke, and I mean, that was just, you know, goosebumps still. So the pop-ups, not as much, but more thoughtful and conscious and exposing to a type of food and an event that will never happen again, never once. This is true mindfulness in the moment. That seems to have taken over the food scene.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be our year-end wrap-up if we didn't have some grumpy things.
Yeah.
Grumpy things on the menu. So What do you want to see changed?
I would like, as everyone in this holiday season, peace on earth. In the last year, particularly within the restaurant scene and social media and all the folks that I'm either very close to or acquainted with, the voices have become more snarky, more antagonistic, less we're all in it together, and tragically, for me, more backbiting. I watched a flare-up on social media just a week or two ago, and one of the food journalists who posts online regularly weighed in. And to me, that's both unprofessional but really sad. There was a time when talking about Milwaukee cuisine to the rest of the country would elicit a smirk, at least, with the exception of, you know, a Sanford and a few other names. Now the national press covers us, and we are all in this together. There's no question. Excellence has to prevail, absolutely. But come on, peace on earth.
Do you think that that is just part of the greater internet world that we live in? I mean, people talk about the fact that there really is no discourse anymore. It's just people yelling at each other, whether it's in caps or whether it's actually verbally.
Yeah, perhaps, but I won't accept that. I mean, I see your point, but I won't accept that. Often it's called out for ideas being stolen or something. Look, there's no new idea. Thomas Keller said this when we filmed with him for Wisconsin Foodie a couple of years ago. Everyone thinks they're doing molecular gastronomy. Well, what the heck is foam on a cappuccino? I mean, so you take what is in you, you innovate, and you do it at the highest excellent level that you can. I mean, that's the beauty. That's why I adore cooking and food and cuisine, because a chef, an undertaker, and a tool and die maker, maybe those are the last three great professions where they can walk into work as the new person, and within 10 minutes, everybody there knows if their BS walks or not. And there are very few professions like that left. So let your work speak for yourself and, you know, leave it well alone.
So hopefully when we do this next year, people will be getting along a little better.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, we can always hope that.
I mean, but otherwise, let's not. It's been a great year. And the thrum of community coming together and some high points is sailing me through into 2016 with a smile on my face.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, as always, it's so great to see that smiling face across the desk from me. And Kyle, we'll talk to you in 2016.
Right on. Delighted to be here.
Lake Effect essayist Kyle Cherik is host of television's Wisconsin Foodie, and he's our regular food contributor.